from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Mina Kim. A new website has launched that the Bay Area's Asian American community can use to report incidents of hate related to the coronavirus. Researchers at SF State have been tracking the rise in racist attacks against Asian Americans, and the slurs and physical attacks are only expected to increase as anxiety over the pandemic grows. Governor Newsom said yesterday he's taking it seriously.
We have seen a huge increase in people that are assaulting people on the basis of how they were born, the way they look. And I just want folks to know we are better than that. We are watching that. We're going to begin to enforce that more aggressively.
And joining me now to talk about what can be done are Russell Jung. He's chair and professor of Asian American Studies at San Francisco State University. Jen Fang, founder of Reappropriate, a blog dedicated to Asian American feminism, pop culture, and politics. And Angela Tan, senior staff attorney and policy director for Asian Americans Advancing Justice, Asian Law Caucus. Welcome to all of you. Jen Fang, I want to start with you. I mean, probably every Asian American knew this was coming with the political moment we're in. But also because we have a history of seeing this happen. We have history as our guide that when illnesses are racialized, that the people that they are racialized against are attacked.
Absolutely. We've seen in history many different examples of when racialization of disease occurs, when diseases are unfairly associated with certain racial groups, that this prompts a sort of racism and anti-person of color hysteria that can lead to driving more fear, more anger, and lead to actual acts of not only harassment but open violence. We saw this previously about 15 years ago with the 2002-2003 SARS outbreak, especially in my hometown of Toronto, Canada, where the outbreak led to informal boycotts of the Chinese Canadian community. It led to a great deal of anxiety, and we saw a lot of a similar sort of ostracization and stigmatization of the Chinese Canadian and Chinese American communities in relation to the SARS outbreak, both in Canada and in America, eventually leading not only to informal boycotts of Asian American businesses, but also interpersonal incidents of racism and even open violence.
Yes, so businesses turning away Asian customers, and then the whole range from microaggressions to open violence is what you're describing, right?
Absolutely. So we've seen historically how this unfolds 15 years ago with SARS, and we're seeing the same pattern happen now with the new coronavirus, where it starts with microaggressions and escalates and escalates. And we now have several reports from within the Asian American community leading to the launch of this website and other initiatives that are trying to track incidents of harassment, microaggressions, and even more hostile acts of physical violence.
Yes. So, Russell Jung, that is what you've been tracking. And so can you tell us the trajectory of this? When did you start noticing the uptick in anti-Asian attacks?
We started the uptick immediately once the outbreak hit the media. I mean, it's a global phenomenon. So initially, the news began to cover xenophobic policies and political statements like travel bans and petitions for quarantines. And following those few weeks of those types of news articles, then you began to see articles about the economic boycotts of Asian businesses and canceling of Lunar New Year events. And then after that came the interpersonal attacks against Asians and Asian Americans. So Jen was right. You could see the clear trend of how xenophobic policies and media statements fuel hysteria and fear that lead to the attacks on the Asian American community.
And how would you say the mainstream media has handled it this time around, Russell Jung?
The media has, well, it depends on the media outlet, of course.
Right.
But it's the fact that President Trump and Republicans keep on labeling the virus as the China virus or the Chinese virus. That's what makes the news. And he's using it intentionally and strategically. And so the news has to report on it, therefore racializing the virus even more. But his statements and his labeling of the virus like this is clearly racist, and it's clearly with the intent to displace blame on the Chinese government for the virus and sort of mask his own administration's ineptitude in the handling of the virus.
So you feel like there's a political calculation here, a strategic calculation in using it?
Yeah, he's displacing the blame. And I think he's what he's also doing is riling up his base. Like Governor Newsom said last night, and the same thing happened in the 19th century where the short-lived white workingmen's party had the Chinese must go chant after every political rally. And that's what Trump is doing. He's trying to rally his base just for his own political gain and his own fortunes.
And today we heard him do it again at his White House press briefing of the coronavirus task force. And interestingly, Secretary of State Pompeo also joined him in using that term during the White House press briefing. And Angela Chan, one of the concerns, of course, is that this emboldens people. It feels like it gives them permission to go ahead and blame a particular ethnic group, even though this virus has no link to a specific ethnicity. It was simply detected first in China. And so what can be done about it? I mean, what rights do people have if they have a racial slur thrown at them, if they are attacked for this physically?
Well, thank you for having me on the show. There are a lot of things that people can do, community members and also the victim or the survivor themselves, if they're experiencing a hate incident or a hate crime. One thing they should do is they should document what happened as soon as it happens, describing the person who committed the act or the group that committed the act, where it happened, and also any witnesses, so that they can make sure that is something that's documented and known to the community. They should also talk to someone they trust, share with a friend, family member, a trusted community-based organization, and discuss what their needs are. Everyone responds differently to these types of incidences, and that's totally okay and totally normal. Some people may want to talk to a mental health professional. Some people may want to develop a safety plan so they can figure out what to do if something like this were to happen again, or just to feel more of a sense of safety. Some people may want to talk to law enforcement and report the crime or the incident that happened. Others may not feel comfortable doing so, and they may want to, for example, report to websites such as the one that was just launched, organized by nonprofits to collect these stories and use them to educate the public and also to share with the press. Some may want to share their experiences on social media and also talk with press about the incident.
And I should say the name of that website. It's www.asianpacificpolicyandplanningcouncil.org/stop-aapi-hate. And again, we're talking with Angela Chan, Senior Staff Attorney and Policy Director at Asian Americans Advancing Justice Asian Law Caucus, Jen Fang, founder of Reappropriate, a blog dedicated to Asian American feminism, pop culture, and politics, and Russell Jung, Chair and Professor of Asian American Studies at San Francisco State University. If you have questions, comments, reactions to what you're hearing, give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch on Twitter, Facebook, or at KQED Forum, or email your questions to forum@kqed.org. And Robert writes, Trump isn't concerned with encouraging racist acts towards Asians. He's only focused on waving a friendly hand to his racist supporters. Shame on him. Amy writes, my heart absolutely breaks with the news of backlash against Asian Americans. This lands squarely with President Trump. It's an absolute disgrace and so tragic for our country and the world. I'm heartbroken and outraged. Jen Fang, certainly President Trump knows how to pour gasoline on existing racism and racial anxieties. But as you've pointed out, sadly, it's not squarely with him.
Absolutely. I mean, I want to echo what everyone else has been saying with regard to the administration's apparent intentional and official position, which is to relabel the virus the Chinese virus. We're seeing now many members of the administration using this terminology, and that is extremely abhorrent because it only continues to perpetuate this anti-Asian climate that we're in right now. And so it makes things harder for the Asian American community, who, like everyone else in America, is dealing right now with the stresses of this pandemic. And so on top of that, we also have to be concerned about our own safety because we're being targeted with racism on top of having to deal with everything else. But one lesson that we learned from SARS, one lesson that we learned from the SARS outbreak is that it doesn't fall squarely on just one thing, but that mainstream media in and of itself plays a very important role in trying to prevent their own they're perpetuating this disease racialization as well. In the aftermath of the SARS outbreak, when we sort of did an autopsy of what happened, studies conducted and how SARS was reported in mainstream media found that a majority of stories that ran, journalistic stories about SARS, were running images of Chinese people wearing masks, of Chinatown, of Asian bodies, even when the story itself had nothing to do with Chinatown or with, you know, there's one story that was talking about a history of epidemics and was running stories about, you know, the 19th century and ran that story in a Canadian newspaper alongside an image of Hong Kong students wearing masks. And so that creates this subtle but very profound association, subconscious association of the disease with the Asian body. And it perpetuates this idea that this is sort of an Asian disease. That's the same kind of mentality that Trump is now picking up on when he encourages members of his administration and when he himself uses the term Chinese virus, or others are using terms like the Wuhan virus, by unfairly misassociating this virus purely with the Asian American community. It sort of, as you said, sort of lends this idea that there's a license to now enact racism against the Asian American community. We can place blame on Trump and his administration, and we should, but we should also hold accountable mainstream media outlets who continue to mistakenly and erroneously perpetuate this racialization of the new coronavirus with the Asian American community as well. So they should not be running stories and that show Asian American faces when that's not appropriate, because that is also fueling this climate of hate.
Angela Chan, these racial attacks, these racist slurs, I mean, they're technically illegal, right? I learned this fairly recently when I was the victim of a racist slur. And so you can, if you want to, even report a racist slur used against you to the police.
That's right. It can be a hate crime. A hate crime has two criteria. One, it must be a crime such as physical assault, intimidation, arson, vandalism, property damage, and it has to be motivated in part or in whole by bias, and that can include, of course, race, ethnicity, or nationality. And so that could be reported to the police and documented, and it also could be reported to other community resources such as this website, where then there could be a broader education of the community and highlighting this for the press about these types of incidences that are extremely alarming and that actually are very divisive at a time where the community needs to come together to address this virus, which does not discriminate.
Yes, but tell us also why some Asian Americans are reluctant to go to the police.
Yeah, some Asian Americans might be reluctant to go to the police because they are just not used to talking with the police. Others might actually be concerned that going to the police could lead to contact with the immigration system if that individual has an immigration status concern. Some individuals just might have had bad experience with police in the past, because they were over-policed in their community or were not believed by police. And so it really depends on that individual and what they're comfortable with, what their experiences are. And really the first thing they should do is document for themselves the incident that occurred and then talk to someone they trust and respect to figure out what are the next steps they should take. And some individuals may want to report to police. Other individuals might want to report to these types of community resources. I think what's most important at the end of the day is making sure that they feel supported and they feel heard in dealing with this a terrible or a violent incident.
Well, let me go to caller Matt in Berkeley. Hi, Matt. Join us.
Good morning. Thank you. I just wanted to play devil's advocate for one moment here. And of course, Trump is using it to, you know, appeal to his racist base. And of course, Asian Americans have nothing to do with it. However, when we look in terms of China and the Chinese government, from all the reports I've been hearing, the Chinese government, in addition to suppressing and punishing kind of the people who first, the doctors in Wuhan who first heard about it, they also, which led to its spreading, they also from like a previous outbreak that led from what that was response a virus that came from an animal. The Chinese government did not take the proper, they did not kind of put an end to these markets where all kinds of animals are slaughtered and real unhygienic practices, and there are cultural practices of eating all kinds of strange animals that do that have led to this. So there is something that happened in China and actions that the Chinese government did or did not take that are related to this outbreak that's all around the world.
Matt, thanks. Russell Jung, calling out the term Chinese virus and other and raising awareness of the racist attacks against Chinese doesn't preclude critiquing the Chinese government's response.
No, of course, we have to recognize the actual geographic source of the disease, especially if we want to prevent future pandemics and to understand the connections of eating and dietary habits with the spread of diseases. But, you know, the American administration is doing the same type of cover-up, dismissing and denial of the seriousness of the pandemic initially. And the current China bashing and the current antagonizing of both the Chinese government and the Chinese American community is ill-serving the U.S. We need now actually China's support. They've actually been able to flatten the curve. They have ventilators. They have health experts. America is not ready. And so instead of trying to be more divisive, we need to have international support to combat this disease. And so using the term like the Chinese virus does nothing but to blame and doesn't take any responsibility of what we need to do. So I would argue that, again, this type of labeling has serious consequences. It deflects the issue. And instead of taking real responsibility of what the administration needs to do and taking responsibility of what's going on with the Asian American community, which the government has to be accountable to, then we're failing. The government's failing in its, you know, administration.
Jen Fang, can I get your reaction to this listener who writes, saying China virus is not racism, saying Chinese is, I am Chinese. What do you think about that?
Well, so I think we need to be clear that the concern here is how mislabeling the virus as something associated specifically with China or Chinese is perpetuating the racialization. The racialization of disease is what's leading to the xenophobic Chinese bashing climate that we're dealing with. I think that, you know, as Russell pointed out, this is a virus that emerged out of China, but it is not a China or Chinese virus. And so whether you decide to use China or Chinese, what you are doing is enabling the misassociation of this virus with a particular ethnic and racial group and giving license to the anti-Asian hostility that we're now seeing in America. As the caller also pointed out, there is some possibility that you might want to critique the Chinese government, but you don't have to label the virus the China virus or the Chinese virus, something that is non-scientific, something that is based primarily on a desire to racialize the virus, to critique government responses to the pandemic. So my argument to the reader as well as to the caller would be that you can call the virus the coronavirus or COVID-19, which is the term that is officially being used by scientists. And there's no reason why you can't do that and talk about the virus. You can talk about critiques of the Chinese government, but you don't have to racialize the disease because that is adding the anti-Asian anxieties and leading to this climate of harassment, fear, and ultimately violence.
Well, Nancy writes, did we learn nothing from the disgraceful treatment of our Japanese-American population during World War II? Charles writes, we've got a tone-deaf administration that paints a bullseye on people's backs. Angela Chan, you mentioned coming up with a safety plan. What is that? How do people come up with a safety plan?
That's right. Individuals can come up with a safety plan to think about if they were to go back to the same place where the incident occurred, what would make them feel safe? Would it be to be accompanied by another person? Would it be to find a different route? Also, are there certain people that they would like to be in contact with when they're feeling anxiety, when they're feeling stress? So all of these are different things that they can do to feel safer next time they're out. Of course, it's also raising this, reporting this to a trusted source so that the public can be educated, so that public officials can also recognize these incidents that happen are happening and take action in terms of funding more resources for the Asian American community and for victims or survivors of hate incidences.
Well, Kimberly writes, I am sickened every time I hear the president or someone else say Chinese virus. I have friends and neighbors who are Asian American, and if one of them is hurt, I will hold the president personally responsible. He's a bigot, and bigotry spreads like a virus. One of the other things that has been raised in all of this is how you can help, like as a bystander. Kimberly clearly sounds like she cares a lot about how it's affecting her friends who are Asian American. And so do you have any thoughts, Angela Chan, on what bystanders can do?
Oh, yes, there's a lot. There are great resources online about bystander intervention training. Something called the 5 V's. One is you can distract the individual who's causing the incident, especially if it's in public, by actually getting in between the attacker, the offender, and the victim. You can also ask for assistance from a third party, such as a store supervisor, a bus driver, anyone that's there that might have more authority in the situation. Of course, you can document the incident, you can videotape it, you can record it to give to the victim to see what they would like to do with it. And depending on the situation, depending on if it's safe to do so, you could also directly address the harassment that's happening and name what's happening and ask the harasser to stop. Finally, you can also check in with the victim afterwards or during the event to ask them how they're doing and how they need your support. So these are the 5 D's, and there is a lot of training that you could attend and that's available online to learn about how to be supportive of community members who are facing this type of discrimination and harassment.
Governor Newsom yesterday, when he concluded his remarks announcing the statewide shelter at home order, acknowledge that the increase in assaults on people of Asian American descent, particularly Chinese Americans, and he had this to say.
We have seen a huge increase in people that are assaulting people on the basis of how they were born, the way they look. And I just want folks to know we are better than that. We are watching that. We're going to begin to enforce that more aggressively.
Russell Jung, do you know of any specific effort to try to enforce this more aggressively, as he says here?
Yeah, we're actually with the Asian Pacific Islander Legislative Caucus really pushing state agencies to enforce workplace discrimination issues. So if you get quarantined or if they mistreat or treat Asian American employees differently, they could get persecuted. We're asking the school districts to develop anti-bullying campaigns. We've asked the Department of Transit to put up more public service advertisements about anti-bullying on things like Caltrans. That's because our documentation shows that kids are being bullied the most, that most of the incidents are occurring on public transit. So having this documentation helps us strategically and proactively develop campaigns. And that's why this new reporting center is so important. Asian Americans should use those 5 D's that Angela talked about, but I really encourage them to report their incidents so that we could actually take proactive responses to the issue, that we could actually target our campaigns to where the issue of discrimination is the most widespread or trending.
Well, Gregory writes, I see xenophobia every day during the White House coronavirus task force pressers. Jen Fang, it's interesting because today's presser in particular, when the president and his officials were talking about closing the border with Mexico, there was definitely a tone of immigrants, you know, bringing disease and trying to say that that would be an effective measure to hold back what has already clearly spread throughout the United States. We're focused very much on Asian Americans, but are you concerned also just about general fanning the flames of even more anti-immigrant sentiment?
Absolutely. So what I think we've seen clearly in the last month is that the administration is using the coronavirus outbreak as an opportunity to start to advance some of the other pre-existing xenophobic anti-immigrant policy platforms that they campaigned on. And so this has become sort of their attempt to rationalize existing xenophobia and to further foment nativist sentiment. And so they're capitalizing on this in a way that not only is highly politically calculated, but also materially damaging to not only pandemic responses, but also to immigrant communities, which includes Asian American communities. We know this virus does not discriminate based on race, ethnicity, nor does it check your immigration status before it infects you. So we know that closing the borders to immigrants does virtually nothing to actually accomplish a meaningful pandemic response. And so I think what we really have to do as bystanders not only is to see the anti-Asian attacks, but also to hold this administration accountable, to really want to focus on, we need to ask this administration and our officials to be really focused on public health responses that actually keep us safe, rather than to distract us with anti-immigrant and racist narratives that only lead to further harassment and violence and actually does materially nothing to protect us.
Well, let me go to Sakura in San Francisco. Hi, Sakura.
I feel that we need to organize a mass protest online to demand that the Trump administration stop calling this the Chinese virus and just call it COVID-19, like all scientists and everyone in the world calls it COVID-19. We have to make a voice heard. I mean, just talking amongst ourselves in San Francisco is not enough. This has to go nationwide, online mass protest. So I urge everyone to get online and protest. And we all know that, you know, Trump says, hey, it comes from China. I'm completely rational by calling it Chinese virus.
Well, Sakura, thank you. You know, Russell Jung, the fact of the matter is based on the trajectory that you're seeing by tracking these incidents, you do believe this will only grow for some time, especially as anxiety grows around the pandemic.
Right. As we enter the shelter-in-place policies and as people get more angry and more fearful, then they're going to want to have to fight or flee. And I'm afraid that they're going to take out their fears on Asian Americans even more. And it'll again be to Trump's advantage to do so. And so we as the Asian American community, like the caller said, need to rally, to stand up. And I think what's heartening for me is that we've already seen it. In the last news cycle, more of the articles were about public officials and Asian American communities themselves standing up to the xenophobia and this labeling of the Chinese virus. So
Russell Jung, yes, we only have 10 seconds left.
So, I just think the Asian American community should continue. We're not just victims, but we've been actually changing the narrative about this virus as we go along.
Russell Jung of SF State, Jen Fang of Reappropriate, and Angela Chan of Asian Americans Advancing Justice. Thanks to all of you. And thanks to our listeners for their comments and support. I'm Mina Kim. This is Forum.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.